Amen. I love those songs. I don't know if you noticed that both of the songs we sang as congregational songs, of course, they're older songs, but they both talk about seeing Him. Amen. The first one said, just one glimpse of His face will make all our toils will be past. Amen. And it'll be worthwhile when we see His face. And that one talks about not only seeing Him, but gathering around the throne with loved ones. Amen. With a blood-washed throne, I'll shout and sing. And so praise God for that as well. Amen. Amen. All right. Hebrews chapter number 10. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 23. Look at about three verses here real quickly. And I don't think I'll be real long tonight, but I got a thought. And I want to look at these verses verse by verse. All right. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, one thing I noticed in reading this, that these three verses is one sentence. And normally we read verse 25, we talk about verse 25 about being faithful to church. And that's a thought that's right there, but that's only half of the sentence. Amen. Verses 23 and 24 deal with that as well, and they're all in there together. So I want to try to preach on that. And my thought is this, the importance of church attendance. The importance of church attendance. Amen. Brother Gary Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, so good once again.
Thank you, Lord, for the privilege. Yes. Help us, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. These verses, as I said, are composed one sentence, and it's dealing primarily with that assembling of ourselves together. Notice verse number 23 talks about our own faith, and then verse number 24 talks about considering others, one another, and then verse 25 again talks about assembling ourselves with one another. Amen. And so the idea there, I believe, is that is the importance in showing us the need for church attendance. Amen. And preaching this is not to fuss about people that are not here or people that have missed. My purpose is not to really to deal with us as far as the meeting that we just had or that sort of thing. My purpose is this, is I recognized in reading just this past week what a blessed privilege it is and how much strength we gain just being able to gather apart from the world, but gather together with the saints of God. Amen. And it encouraged my heart and blessed me. And I want to relate that to you if I can. Now I want to look at these verses and I'm going to break them down. I looked up these words in my Strong's Concordance. And I didn't give the numbers. I'll just give you the thoughts as what it says. But look at verse number 23. And I'll look at them one by one and say something about them. And then give you our 3 points and be out of the way. First of all, Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast. That word means to have, to hold tightly, to keep hold of, and to possess. Amen. And so it's as if we got the idea we're holding on to our profession. We are possessing our profession. That's what he's saying, all right? Let us hold fast. Then he goes on, the profession. That word profession means an acknowledgement. We held up our hand and said, I believe God. That's our profession. Amen. It's not what we have done, but it's who we have trusted in that we've made our profession of. Amen. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Amen. That word faith there has the idea to anticipate with pleasure. Amen.
Amen. And I think about things like that. I think about my son Daniel. Daniel's getting ready to get married on July the 4th, Lord willing. And Daniel's always been an excitable little fellow. When he was little, he'd get excited and he'd rub his hands together. And you just see him just, I mean, that anticipation eating him alive. Amen. And that's the idea of our faith. We know there's a heaven over yonder and we just can't wait to get there. That's the idea behind it. Amen. And we sing in those songs when we all get to heaven. Amen. I'm glad I'm going. Ain't you? Amen. Amen. And so that idea of faith, let us hold fast the profession of our faith, that idea of anticipation with pleasure and expectation. And then it says without wavering. That means not leaning, but standing firm, standing strong on the faith. And then it says in parentheses, for he is faithful, that promise. That word faithful means trustworthy, and promised is the announcement that he made. Amen. And so God has made us a promise. Amen. God has made the saints a promise. That promise is that Jesus is coming again and he's bringing his reward with him. Amen. It doesn't matter how dark the day gets, the sun's about to shine. Amen. It don't matter how long the time seems to be, he'll be coming quickly. Amen. And before we know it, Jesus will be here. Amen. He that shall come and will not tarry. Amen. Amen. No matter how dark the world gets, the saved have a promise that there's a brighter day and a better land awaiting for the saints. Amen. Those of us who have believed Christ have found assurance in His promises, and we've made announcement of that faith. Amen. Amen. And you, when somebody gets saved, for example, most of the time when they make a profession of faith and they say they got saved, a lot of people ask them, if you were to die right now, where will you go? You ever heard somebody do that? And they'll say to heaven. You know what they're doing? They're making an announcement that they believe God. They believe not only that there is a heaven, but they believe that God has spoken to their heart, that they're a citizen of that country. Amen. They made that announcement and they're anticipating that day coming. Amen. The writer of the book of Hebrews reminds us at the end of this verse that God is faithful. God keeps His promises. Amen. Amen. He uses this statement, I believe, to exhort us to be faithful and to hold up and maintain the character of a Christian. Amen. And hold up and maintain the character of a Christian that believes God in the midst of an unbelieving world. He assures us that no matter how dark the day, no matter how loud the enemy, no matter how numerous the enemies are, God keeps His promises. Because of that, we can hold on to our faith. Amen. We can hold on to our faith in Him in the darkness of night and in the noise and the multitude of the wicked. Amen. Verse number 24, and he said, and let us consider. That word consider means to observe fully. It means to take notice, to pay attention to. What are we to consider? Now here's the unique. What are we to consider? And let us consider one another. Amen. Now, we're going through troubles and trials, and God said, look at other people. Look at them. That's what He said right there in that verse. Sometimes we say, be careful, don't look at others, because if you do, you can get discouraged by looking at others. But in this context, He's telling you, you've got a reason to keep going, because there's somebody else on your side, there's somebody else on your team, and there's somebody else depending on you and probably following you through this maze in which we live. Amen. Let us consider one another. So observe fully each other. Then here's what we're to consider to do. To provoke unto love and to good works. That means to incitement to good. Amen. Incitement to do. In other words, we're encouraging them. We're exhorting them. We're inciting them to do good. Amen. Now, as we walk through this dark and dangerous world, we are to remember that God has made us a promise that this world is not our home. Amen. There will be a better day for all those who believe. However, while we're in this dark and dangerous world, we need to remember and take notice that we have brothers and sisters that are in the same mess we're in. Amen. Amen. They're surrounded by the enemy, just like we are. We're to do our best to incite them to love and to good works. Amen. I believe that love is twofold. Love each other and love God. Amen. I believe that's the way He intended it to be, because He's telling us that we got to remember God and remember our brethren that are among us. Amen. Amen. Well, so He says we're to incite them to love and to good works. We're to be a blessing to those other Christians who are trudging through this wicked, sinful world. Amen. This is an exhortation not to get focused on the wicked world and not to get focused on our own case, but to keep our focus on our good God and on our fellow brethren. Amen. Our brother in Christ that is going through the same thing we are. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaken. That word forsaken means not to leave and not to neglect. I got to thinking about that word, forsake. That's a strong word. It's used throughout the Bible, especially in the New Testament. I forgot how many times. I listed how many times that it was found in the Bible. But here's the idea of forsaken in this particular Hebrew word is in the midst of trouble, in the midst of the battle, not forsaken. Here's the first time, or one strong time that it's used. Our Lord said as He hung on the cross, my God, why hast thou, that word, forsaken me? He was in the hardness of the storm. He was in the harshness of the battle. And he felt as if God had turned His back on him. He said here, don't you turn your back on the church in the midst of the storm. Amen. Amen. Other times it's used all through there. Here's a good one. He said this in Hebrews chapter 13. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. He's not going to turn His back on us. How dare we turn ours on Him? Amen. So He said not to leave, not to forsake. What are we not to leave? We're not to leave the assembling of ourselves together. That word means a collection, a gathering, a meeting together. Now here's something. He said, as the manner of some is. In other words, some already do. Some already do. Amen. One of the things that caused me to look this up was I was listening to Oliver B. Green on yesterday, and he made the comment, the statement that he had read in somebody's Greek book, and he confessed that he didn't read Greek, didn't know Greek, but he trusted these people that did know Greek, and that they said that in 1 Thessalonians, where it said there'll be a great falling away, and he said that they said that word falling away could have been translated catching away, and could be talking about the rapture rather than falling out. But when you look that word up in your Strong's Concordance, it does not mean a catching away. It means turn the back on. It is the word apostasia is the word. And if you understand English, it comes from the Latin, which comes from the Greek. You know that has the word apostasy in it. And that is somebody that turns their back from the truth. Amen. And so I got to thinking about that here. Our Lord is telling us, don't you apostatize. Don't you turn away from the church. By the way, it is a sign and seems to be that those that turn from the church are turning from God. Amen. Amen. Are turning from God. Well, he says, he goes on, the manner of some is, some already do, but exhorting one another. That means to call near. That means to invoke, to invite, to implore, and to console. Amen. One another. Again, that's each other. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, what's the day? That's the day of His promise. Amen. Amen. That's the day that we talk about, the brighter day that's coming. You see that day coming. It's on the horizon. I don't know when it is. I have no idea. I don't set dates. Amen. I don't believe anybody does know when that Jesus is coming. Amen. And some people don't even believe the Father knows, but the Father knows. Amen. But nobody else knows. Amen. When Jesus is coming. Amen. But I do know He is coming. Amen. He is coming. And so we look at these verses. We're told not to allow the world to drag us away from the assembly of the saints. Amen. We're not to allow the darkness and the discouragement or the deadness to hinder us from going to the house of God and meeting with the saints. Even though others begin to be absent, even though the numbers might get smaller and smaller, we're not to allow that to halt our church attendance. Amen. As a matter of fact, when we find ourselves in days of darkness, we are to exhort our brethren to hold forth the light. Amen. Now is the best time in the world to shine. Amen. When it's the darkest is the best time to shine. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you the best time to run in a race is right at the end of it. That's when you pour it on. Amen. It's not time to quit. Amen. It's time to go on for the glory of God. Amen. We find ourselves in days of discouragement, don't we? Amen. When we do, we're to invoke our brothers to singing and shouting and praising the name of our God. Amen. And that's what we do at the house of God. Amen. We find ourselves surrounded by the spirit of deadness and a spirit of dullness. And we are to invite our brethren. We're to implore our brethren. We're to encourage our brethren to liven things up and get excited about Jesus and keep our head up and our eyes on Him. Amen. That's what we're to encourage each other to do in these dark days. Well, these three verses show us that when we find ourselves in trouble, when we find ourselves surrounded by evil in a wicked world, instead of focusing on ourselves, and instead of focusing on our plight and on the trouble and on the evil, He tells us three directions to look. And I want you to look at it. Verse 23 tells us to look inward and hang on to our faith. Amen. Verse 23 tells us to look inward and hang on to our faith. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm to encourage the brethren. I'm to encourage Brother Hall. I'm to encourage Brother Josh. I'm to encourage Brother Bale. But I can't hold on to their faith. I can only hold on to mine. Amen. Amen. And of course, they hold on to their own. But so what he's saying here is when you're in the trouble, the first thing to do is look inward and hold on to your faith. Remember that you've got a promise, and that promise was not just a blanket promise made somewhere. That promise is mine. Amen. I can claim the promises of God because they're made to me. Amen. And he said, hang on or hold on to your faith. Hold fast the profession of faith. Don't let the devil, the flesh, or the world steal your faith or cause your faith in God to waver. Amen. Keep your heart right with God. That's what he's saying. The day's probably not going to get better, but it's not going to change God, and it's not going to change God's promises. Amen. Therefore, we ought to keep on keeping on. Amen. Don't let our faith waver. Keep our heart right with God. If we maintain the right spirit, we may maintain the right stand. Amen. I won't say that again because that's very important. If we maintain the right spirit, we may maintain the right stand. But if we get out of sorts in our spirit, we'll probably get out of way in our stand. Amen. Amen. Keep your conscience pure. Keep your conduct clean, and it'll give you spiritual strength to stand. Amen. And to continue on that straight path without wavering and without swerving around. Amen. Amen. So he's saying, hold on to it. Stand strong without wavering. Keep yourself strong. How do you do that? Building yourself up on your most holy faith. Amen. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Walking with God and keeping your heart right with God. That's what he said. Keep yourself in tune with God. Now, we need to go to church. Amen. And when we go there, we need to go with the intention of getting our soul fed. Amen. We ought to intend on putting our feet under the table. Amen. Setting up and paying attention and feeding on the precious Word of God. Amen. Amen. We ought to go like a thirsty man goes after water. Amen. We ought to long for it. We ought to look forward to it all day long. It ought not be, boy, we have to go to church tonight. It ought to be, praise God, I'm glad it's time to go to the house of God. Amen. Amen. We ought to make it a point that we're going to say, and by the way, we do need this more than we need our food, our daily food. Amen. Amen. And we need it to feed ourselves. And so we ought to go with the idea of getting our soul fed and getting our spiritual man strengthened by faith. Amen. There's four things mentioned in verse 23. I'll give you these four quickly as I can. Things of great value. First of all, he talks about a possession. Let us hold fast. That means you've got something you need to hold on to.
Right.
Amen. A possession. Those who are saved by the grace of God have something within their bosom that the world cannot understand. Amen. Amen. They cannot understand it. They don't know what you're talking about. They can't understand why you can have a smile at the hospital room or why you can still have joy even at the funeral home. They don't know how you can keep going through your troubles and through your trials. Why? I'll tell you why. Because you've got something in your bosom that the world does not have. Amen. Amen. We have the Holy Spirit, amen, dwelling within us. The Holy Ghost guiding us into all truth. Amen. Now, we're not in danger of losing the Holy Ghost. We're not in danger of losing the Holy Ghost. But we might be in danger of losing our fellowship with Him. We might be in danger of losing our proper relationship with Him, communication with God. Amen. And so he's saying, hold on to it. Not hold on to your salvation. I'll say more about that in a minute. But the idea, hold on to your faith. Keep yourself strong. Keep yourself right in the will of God. Amen. This is not teaching that we are to endure to the end in order to be saved. That's not what this is teaching. But it does teach that we're to keep ourselves in the will of God. We're to keep ourselves in the will of God. If we're going to be a victorious Christian, if we're going to be a valorous Christian, we're going to have to keep ourselves in the will of God. We are kept by God, but He tells us to keep ourselves. I've got a lot of these verses. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I'm glad I am kept by the power of God. Amen. I cannot lose my salvation.
Amen.
Amen. I've been saved, I've been placed in the family of God. My name's in the roll. Amen. When the roll's called up yonder, I will be there. Amen. It's not a maybe, a hope so. I wish so, I think so. No, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt because God has revealed it to me. God spoke peace to my soul. Amen. I know I'm His child. His Spirit in me bears witness with my spirit that I am the Son of God. Amen. Amen. I'm not in danger of losing that salvation. But we can lose our testimony and we can lose our steadfastness, what he talks about here. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 4, verse 23 says this, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Who's supposed to keep your heart? He said, you are.
Right.
Keep your heart. Keep your. How do you keep your heart? Keep your eyes off of pornography. That's one way. Amen. Keep your ears away from gossip. That's one way. I can name a bunch of ways that you, amen, keep your feet in the house of God and not out somewhere where it ought not be. Amen. That's how you keep your heart. There's a lot of ways I can talk about keeping your heart. James chapter 1 and verse 27 says this, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Who's to keep us? We're to keep ourselves. That's what he said. 1 John 5:21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. That's what he said. Keep yourself. Jude chapter 1, course, verse number 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus unto eternal life. Now, I said we must hang on to our faith. Again, this is not to say that we must hang on to our salvation. But it does mean we're to hang on to our steadfastness, that we don't lose our testimony. Amen. And that's exactly what the apostles taught. In Acts chapter number 11, you remember that that Barnabas went as far as Antioch, and here's what he said about that. He said, who when he came, verse 23, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart, here it is, they would cleave unto the Lord. You know what? He said, they're saved. They're in a church. But he said, you need to hang on to the Lord. You need to cleave unto the Lord. Don't let yourself slip away from God and get out of fellowship with God or get out of gear with God. Keep yourself where you're supposed to be. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter number 14, verse 22, talks about after they'd gone through Iconium and Lystra, this second time through, it said, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. So those early apostles exhorted people to continue in the faith, to maintain and to hold on to their profession of faith. Again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, or chapter 3 and verse 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith. Listen to this. Lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. You know what Paul said? Paul said, I'm concerned about you. That the devil would tempt you and you would leave from that steadfast position. Not that you'd lose your salvation, but that you would leave that place being right with God and walking well pleasing unto the Lord. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led astray with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Amen. Amen. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed. You remember that scripture? Lest he fall. That's not talking about losing your salvation. That's talking about losing your testimony. Amen. That's talking about not being right with God, not being as close to God as you ought to be. Now, here's where I'm going with this. We're living in dark days. I don't expect them to get better. So since the days are going to get harder, then what should we do? We ought to get better. Amen. Since the days are going to get harder, we don't need to get slacker. We need to pull up the slack a little bit more. Amen. And we need to tighten it up a little bit better and go on for the glory of God, because we need to maintain our profession and we need to hold fast our profession in this dark world we're living in. Amen. So he talks about a possession. Let me move on to the second thing in verse 23. He talks about a profession. A possession and a profession. He said to hold fast the profession of our faith. Amen. Not only do we have a belief in God, not only do we believe the God of the Bible within our bosom, but we have announced it with our voice. We've told people that we believe God. We've made a public testimony. We have broadcast our belief with our voice. By the way, if you haven't, I question your salvation. Because the Bible says if you confess with the mouth and believe in your heart. Amen. Amen. It always bothers me, people that, you know, you ask them, and they don't want to talk about being saved. If they're nervous about talking about when they got saved, there may be a problem there. Amen. Amen. I understand some people don't want to testify in public. Some people are backward. Some people are not forward and things like that. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about people that can never give a profession, can never brag about the Lord, can never give a testimony of God. That bothers me somewhere. Amen. Amen. And so he said, we have a belief in our bosom, but we have broadcast that belief with our voice. We have declared our faith to saints and sinners alike. Amen. You ever told the people you work with that you're a Christian? And you don't have to, like Joshua said, you don't have to walk around with a t-shirt that says, I'm a Christian. You don't have to carry a sign. Amen. Just the fact that you bow your head and pray over your meals will look strange to them. Amen. Right. Amen. Just the fact that you want to be in the house of God. Amen. When the doors are open, that'll be strange to them. Right. Amen. Even on Super Bowl Sunday. Amen. The fact that you want to be in church will surprise them. They won't understand. And it'll say something to them. I'll tell you what it'll say. They'll say, well, he's a strange Christian because the other fellows I know don't live like that. Amen. Amen. You've made a profession. That's the point I'm making. You have made a profession, a statement to them. We have a vow that we have renounced the flesh. We have renounced the world. We have renounced the hidden things of darkness. Amen. And we're following Christ. We have made that announcement. Now we've got to hold on to it. Amen. Amen. Since we have declared our faith to others, they are likely to be watching us. Amen. Amen. They're going to see how we respond to trials, and we can cause them to trust God, or we can cause them to doubt God based on how we respond to these trials. So we have a possession. We have a profession. Number three, he talks about a promise, the profession of our faith. We have a promise that we have built all these things on. Amen. We're not standing on our own power. Amen. We're standing on His promises. Amen. Standing on the promises of God. We're not resting in our ability. We're not resting in what we have done. We're not resting in what we can do. We're resting in what Jesus did on Calvary. Amen. And when He said it is finished, we can shout, praise God, it is finished. There's nothing left for me to do. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I'll cling. Amen. 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 We have a profession and we have a promise. Amen. God said it. We believe it. Amen. 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 We don't need scientific evidence to prove God is real. We don't need scientific evidence to prove that the Word of God is right. God said it. We believe it. Amen. Amen. We know God and we believe God. Amen. Well, this world has nothing to offer us. We know this world will soon pass away. We know that the glory of this world is fading fast. Amen. Amen. Brother Milby sings that song that got leaving on my mind. And it talks about, he says, I wouldn't have the world if I could buy it all with one solitary dime. For what good would this world do when I got leaving on my mind? Amen. Amen. It don't bother us that we don't own much gold. It does not bother us that we don't own many precious stones. It does not bother us that we don't have many pearls and jewelry, because we're going in a place that the gates are made of pearl. Amen. We're going in a city that's walls are made of jasper. We're going to walk in a city that street is purest gold. Amen. And we have that promise. We hang on to that promise. We stand on that promise. We believe it. Amen. We have a promise. Since we have that promise, we've made that declaration. And then number four, we not only have a possession, a profession, a promise, but number four, we have a promiser. He is faithful.
Amen.
That promised. Amen.
Yes,
he is faithful that promised. I can believe in heaven because I can believe God.
Amen.
Amen. They may come out, you know, I heard that they're trying to come out with a movie. They found scientific evidence that the Exodus actually happened. Well, I've got scientific evidence right here in the second book of the Bible. You don't have to read far in there. Amen. Evidence that it happened. Listen, they may say we've had the telescopes and they try to get more and more powerful telescopes and they may get to the place they say we've come to the end of the universe and there ain't no God there. That don't mean there's no God there. That means they didn't find Him. Amen. I remember they said when the cosmonauts, they were the first to circle the earth. The orbit of the earth was the cosmonauts. They beat us to it. One of the cosmonauts came back and landed. There's communists, by the way. And they landed in Russia or the Soviet Union. And one of the cosmonauts made this statement. He said, we went to heaven and there was no God there. What the man said. He said, we saw no God. He said, a little 12-year-old girl wrote him a letter and said, but are you pure in heart? Because the Bible said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They said, when our astronauts made that first lap around, here's what one of them said. One of them said, we went to heaven and we saw God everywhere.
Amen.
Amen. I said, they may say there's no heaven there, but I've got a book that says there is, and I believe that book over them. Amen. I have a promise, but more than a promise, I've got the promise, sir. And I'm not just banking in a hope of heaven. I'm banking in the Word of God. Amen. Believe in that Word. Look inward. Strengthen yourself in these dark days. We can do that at the house of God. Amen. Number two, in verse number 24, he tells us to look outward. Not only hold on to our faith, but look inward and hold on to our faith. Number two, look outward and help our fellows. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Amen. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Amen. Don't forget that others are struggling to maintain their hope to live godly in this sinful world just like you are. Amen. You ever come into church and you've just been under it, buddy? I mean, you've been under it. Seems like the devil's rode you back the whole way. Seems like troubles, everything that could go wrong did go wrong. Problems have arisen. You got worries. Seems like your faith's wavering. And you think, if I can just drag into the house of God, I'll get some help. And you sit down. And when you sit down, here's what you're thinking. You're thinking nobody else has those problems. I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. He's saying, remember your brethren, they have the same problems you've got.
Right.
Amen. And just as bad as you need church, they need church just as bad. Amen. Yeah. Just as much as you need them to shout, they need you to shout. That's what he's saying. Remember your brethren. Amen. Don't forget they're struggling. Your failure may mean their discouragement, disappointment. Your success may mean their encouragement. Amen. Amen. It could be the means of strengthening their faith and strengthening their resolve. Amen. You have the ability and the opportunity to say the right things. And you have the ability and the opportunity to show the right things at the house of God. Amen. I'm telling you what happens. When somebody comes in church, and you've heard this over and over, somebody gets happy. You know what happens? Their cup runs over. As somebody said, when sister's cup runs over, brother's saucer gets sloshed in. Amen. Amen. When one gets happy, it makes others happy. Now, I'm just going to tell you, here's the way I'm natured. If I see you crying, better watch out. Tears will well up in my eyes. That's the way I'm natured. Amen. If you go to shouting, you better get out of the way. Amen. Because I might take off with you. Amen. And we need that. Amen. Every now and then I need somebody to get excited to help me remember, hey, there is a better day. Hey, we do have promises. Hey, God can be trusted and believed. Amen. Every now and then we need that encouragement. Amen. Amen. Well, we have the ability and the opportunity to say the right things and to show the right things that might strengthen them. This verse 24, begins with the word and. It's still part of the same sentence, but that word "and" means it is tied to the former part of that sentence. Amen. It shows us the close connection of the teaching that's preceded that. In other words, when we get the strength we need and we maintain our spirituality like we ought to in the midst of this dark world, then we go to the house of God, we can be a blessing to the brethren that are going through storms and troubles and trials just like we are. Amen. Amen. Just like we need to be careful not to fall, we should also be careful and considerate about our brother's spirituality as well. Amen. Hold fast to your faith. Hold fast to your profession. But also try to help your brother hold fast to his. Amen. That's what he's saying. We ought to continually contemplate that just as we are surrounded by the enemies of the soul, so is our brother. They too have needs. They also have burdens, cares, temptations, and trials. They also need our exhortation and our encouragements. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. If you're in chapter 10, just turn over probably a page. Chapter 12 and verse 12. I believe this is an exhortation that we can use right here. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. You know what he said? Strengthen one another. We're all part of this body. Amen. And this church body is the body of Christ. And we're all part of it together. Amen. And so he's saying we've got brethren that their hands are hanging down. What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to hang it down with them and say, oh, well, we're all bad off? No, we're supposed to lift up those hands. That's what it said. And we're supposed to lift up those feeble knees. In other words, we're to encourage them in the things of God. Amen. We ought to provoke our brethren. He says that, provoke one another to love and to good works. We're to provoke, and I try to do that. I don't know if you've ever seen me. I try to provoke people sometimes. Amen. But I try to provoke them in the right way. Amen. Some people try to provoke you the wrong way. They try to provoke you to a fight. They'll try to get you to go out in the parking lot and fight, and they won't even show up. Most of them say that won't show up. Amen. They're provoking in the wrong direction. They're provoking you to carnality. Amen. They're provoking you to sinfulness. Amen. The Bible says that preacher's not to be a brawler.
Right.
Amen. But here's what we're to do. We're to provoke one another to love and to good works. Amen. And so the idea here is that we're to stir up each other's affections towards the things of God. We ought to stir up each other's performance of godly duties. For example, we ought to encourage each other to be godly spouses, have a godly marriage. We ought to encourage each other to be godly parents. Amen. We ought to encourage the children to be godly children, to be obedient children. Amen. We ought to encourage each other to be pure in our dealings. Amen. To be sexually pure, to be modest in our attire. We ought to encourage each other to keep on keeping on in this walk of life. I know the world's selling a lot of worldly clothing. Amen. I've said this before, and it's a shame, but you go to these places and they have them hanging on the clearance rack and they say 50% off. And that's because they left off 50% of the fabric. Amen. Either it'll be too short, or it'll be too low, or it'll be too tight. Amen. You know what we're to do? We're to encourage one another not to fall for the things of the world. Amen. Not that we're browbeating, not that we're beating them down, we're trying to hurt them. No, we're trying to encourage them to live right. Amen. That's what we're supposed to do. Encourage their zeal. Amen. Inflame their spiritual affections. We do all that with church attendance. When we come to church, we're encouraging each other. Amen. Amen. Well, we should remind them to look up and keep their eyes on Jesus. Amen. We need each other, and each other needs us. Amen. By the way, that's one of the reasons why on Saturday at the meal, I wanted Rick to know that we're going to be praying for him. We're thinking about him. I can't say I'm that close to him. I'm not part of the family. I hadn't known him that long. But I know this church is close to him, and there's family here. And they're going to be praying for him and begging God to help him, have mercy on him through all this. Amen. Amen. And God to help him. Amen. And I want him to know that. And by the way, we all want each other to know that. I don't know what you're going to face tomorrow, but I do know some of what you're going to face because I know what's out there. But I also know what's in here. And I know what's in this book. And because of that, we can encourage you that you can face it. You can weather the storm. You can come out on the other side praising God in spite of it all. Amen. I know that is possible. I know it is. Amen. Well, we can either be a hindrance in the path of our brother, or we can be a help. Amen. If you just don't bother to show up at church, then that's going to cause others in the church to lose their zeal. Amen. It's going to hinder the spiritual growth of our brother as well as ourselves. I hear people say, I said it Sunday, not about church attendance, but about other things. People say, I'm not hurting anybody but myself. Oh, no, you're hurting others too. Hurting others too. Amen. And when, if it gets to the point that we just say, well, I just don't believe I'll go today, or I just don't believe I'll go tonight, then we may not recognize that we're not only hurting ourselves, we're hurting others that are saying, wonder where's old brother so-and-so, old sister so-and-so.
Right.
Amen. I wonder why other things are more important to them. There was a lady, and I don't mean to run a rabbit here, but I'll just mention, there was a lady at Vision when I had been pastoring her a little while. She called and said she wasn't able to come to church. And I don't remember if she, my wife might remember, I don't remember if she ever came a service that I pastored. And she just died a few years back. Probably I'd pastored her at least 20 years. She hadn't darkened the doors one time. I'd been to her house. We'd been by there to visit and sing Christmas carols and try to encourage her and the things of God. And she did get bad off later in life. But here's the thing. I'd see her at the supermarket. I could see her at Walmart or Kmart. Amen. She'd go out and get her hair fixed. Needed her heart fixed. Amen right there.
Right, amen.
Amen. All right, well. Lord help me. Amen. If we get to that point that we say, it's just not worth the bother. I'm just so down spiritually that I'm not going to go anymore. You know what we're doing? We're digging the hole deeper for ourselves.
Right.
And we're pulling others down in the hole with us. Amen. Because it's at church where you'll get the strength you need. Amen. And it's at the church where you can help somebody else. But, let me say this. But if you do come on to church and yet you come with a wrong spirit, you come with an ill attitude. Amen. You know what happens there? You're going to grieve the Holy Spirit and you're going to hinder the service for everybody. Amen.
Amen.
Including yourself. So what are you saying, preacher? You said, I ought to just stay out if I'm in a bad spirit. No, I'm saying you ought to get right. And you ought to go on in and worship and serve God in the right spirit. Amen. That's right. That's right. Well, he says we ought to look inward and hold on to our faith. He said we ought to look outward and help our fellows. And then number 3 in verse 25, we're to look upward and hallow our Father's name. He said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I believe he's talking about going to the house of God. Amen. Now you read commentaries and they'll say different things. They may say, many of them may not see it as a church. As a matter of fact, many commentators do not recognize the church much at all. They're confused about the church in many of them. But in this case, I don't believe there's any doubt that this assembling of ourselves. By the way, we used to quote it, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. But that's not what Paul said. He said ourselves. Amen. Because he's not telling you to do something that he don't do.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. And here's what he's saying. He's saying, when you get there, I'll be there. Amen. Amen. And we ought to assemble ourselves together and forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. This thing about the church, we ought to be faithful to church. Don't let the circumstances that surround you rob you of your joy. Go to the house of God and worship in spirit and in truth in spite of this dark world. Amen. This verse has 3 solemn things about it. I'm almost done. Almost done. 3 solemn things, verse 25. Number 1, he says, don't get out of church. Number 2, he says, some already have.
Right.
Number 3, he says, encourage each other when you come. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Don't get out of church. Some already have. And encourage each other when you come. I need church. I need to come for my own self. Amen. Amen, I do. But I'm not just coming for my own self. Amen. I come to church because my wife needs church. Some of you men can say amen right there. Amen. I came to church when I had children because my children need church. Amen. I didn't just send them, I went with them. Amen. And I believe that's the right way to go. But I come to church and you should come to church. And when I say these things about other people, I'm saying, those around us, those that we fellowship with, those that are there, they need us being there. Amen. There was a man come came to vision, and I may have told this, I don't remember, but my wife remembers the story well, that a family moved to North Carolina because of Y2K, because it was going to wipe everything out. It was going to be the end of the world. And they moved to North Carolina and bought a farm up in the mountains, did not have electricity, did not have running water. Built a barn, had goats in it and groceries in 50-gallon barrels, and they lived upstairs over the goats. Can you imagine that? And the man and his wife both were nurses, and they apparently had a little bit of money and means, and we became friends. They started coming to church, and the man, he would come. He got to eating it up. He came in first day with an NIV Bible. Amen. And he said to me, he said, "I don't like somebody yelling at my family. I don't allow people to yell at my family." I said, "I'm not yelling, I'm preaching." Amen. But like Brother Sutton said, "I'm not judging, I'm preaching, praise God." Amen. But I said, "I'm preaching." Well, we had Brother Larry Wells in revival. And in that revival, that man, I think, got some things right with him. He threw that NIV out, got him a King James Bible. He got to coming, and his wife would go back to Virginia to work on their house because they were trying to sell their house. And when she'd go, he'd get in there and be in there. But when she'd come back, he'd start missing because she really wasn't in there like he was and wasn't as excited about it. And there were some issues in her life she wasn't willing to change. And as quickly as he was. And so she was hindrance to him. But one day he'd been gone for, I don't know, probably a month or more. We hadn't seen him at all. One Tuesday night, I pulled up in the churchyard, and there was his car or vehicle. I don't remember what he drove. His vehicle was sitting in the parking lot. He had gotten there early. He was there waiting on us. We came in, and we went in, and we was back in the prayer room, and people started gathering in. And he said to me, he said, "Brother Shepherd, you don't know how much I need this church. You don't know how glad I was to see you come pulling up in the parking lot and how much I need this church." And I had the thought, and I said to him, I said, "Brother, I believe every word you're saying, but I said also, if other people was not more faithful than you are, there wouldn't be anybody been here tonight. If other people wasn't more faithful than he was, who'd unlock the door? Who'd turn the lights on? Amen. Who'd pay the bills?" The point I'm making is that we need each other. And we need the church. Amen. Don't get out of church. Some have. Don't do it. Amen. Encourage others when you come. When people miss church, they miss a blessing. I believe that. Amen. Amen. You'll miss out on worship. You'll miss out on preaching. You'll miss out on fellowship. Now, I do know it's possible to worship God at home. I know that. Especially with having WSOF radio, being able to listen over the radio. You can do it, but it's still not the same. And I also know this. Most people that don't go faithfully to church don't worship at home either. They're watching a ball game instead of listening to preaching. Amen. Or they're watching something else. Or they're doing something else instead of listening and fellowshipping and worshiping and paying attention to the things at the house of God. Amen. Well, I'm just saying there's something special and helpful about seeing people that you know who are facing the same problems you're facing. And you see them sitting in church. You see them standing and singing. You hear them saying amen to the preaching. There's something special that encourages you that you can keep on going because they keep on going. We need each other. That's what I'm making. Amen. We need that. Let's not let these things slip. Amen. Not let them slip. Amen. All right. In conclusion, let me say this. There's three very good reasons why we ought to go to church in these three verses. First of all, we need to go to church with the intention of getting something for our soul. Getting something for our soul.
Right.
Number two, we need to go to church with the intention of giving something to our brethren. Amen. And then number three, we need to go to church with the intention of glorying in our God and praising Him for His goodness and His promises to us. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand with heads bowed and eyes closed as we get a song and they come. I'm not just preaching about being faithful to church. I'm talking about getting excited about the things of God. Amen. And we need that in this day. We need it. These are dark days. These are hard times. And you may say, "Well, it don't seem hard to me." Hold on. Amen. Hold on. If you need to come to the altar, do business with the Lord. Come on. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be in the house of God tonight. Thank you, Lord, for these that have come. Thank you, Lord, for the message, the time we've had together, for these words of exhortation from the Word of God. I thank you for it. Lord, help us to build up ourselves on our most holy faith. Help us to build up each other in our strength and our resolve. For your glory and honor. Help us to brag on the goodness of our God, glorifying you in this dark day, in spite of the darkness of the day. Lord, we ask you to move in this invitation and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. While we sing, if you need to come, come on, do business with God.